Blog Talk Radio.
Try it now.
Yeah.
That's what I tell God all the time. I want to be spiritual. I want to be like him because he is a spirit. And for those that don't know, our foundational scripture says that he is a spirit. In St. John 4, and I do apologize for those that got on and could not, and thank you so much for alerting me as well, Bless Sister William. Thank you so much.
Welcome, Pastor.
But the Bible says over in St. John 4, which is our foundational scripture, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we've been talking about yesterday, is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So that's why we want to tell God, Lord, make me spiritual. I want to be like you. I want to be so much like you until everything I do, the air I breathe, my thoughts. And God want that for us. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, we're going to ask Pastor Bill if she can give us a word of prayer, and we're going to jump right into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. And thank you also for your prayers on yesterday. Amen. The scripture I'd like to open up with is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, reading from the King James. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we're thanking you for this day. We're thanking you for your word. We're thanking you, Father God, for our pastor as he teaches the word. We're thankful for those who have called in and those who are listening by internet, Father God. We're thanking you for all things, Father God. Most of all, we thank you, Lord, as the song says, let us be spiritual, Father God. And then if we're spiritual, we can be one-on-one with you, Father God. We're able to hear from you. We're able to be led by your Holy Spirit, Father God. So, Lord, open up our hearts and our mind to receive the word as our pastor teaches, Father God. And Lord, we ask that you will bless all those who've asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God. And we're just thankful for those who have been healed, those who are delivered. We know that you are a healer. We know you keep us all in perfect peace as long as we keep our minds stayed on you, Father God. And help us to meditate on your word, Father God, so that when we go through hard times, we're able to go through it knowing that you are going to keep us, Father God. We ask that you will bless our pastor, continue to use him mightily, Father God. We bind up anything and everything that may try to come up against him from him getting this word out, Father God, and we plead the blood of Jesus on each and every one on this broadcast, on all of us, Father God, because we can't do nothing without you, Father God. So continue to have your way in our life, Father God. Let us be lights to shine to bring others to you, Father God, and teach them also the true word of God. We give you praise and we're thanking you. In Christ Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Our first scripture is going to be found in Colossians 2 and 8. Colossians 2 and 8. And remember the foundational scripture over in St. John 4. There was something I had saw yesterday in that. But hopefully I'll do it for the end of the service. But I do want to say, but the hour cometh. And now is, like right now, when the true worshipers, so you have other worshipers, but they're not all true worshipers. true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In other words, God is looking for those kind of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have one or not, but God is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And you're not, obligated to worship in a building, but you're obligated to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I said on yesterday, and it's worth repeating today, listen, brothers and sisters, you should be able to worship God at home. Mm-hmm. You should not be limited to a building, especially as a believer. We are called to worship in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you might wonder, can I worship God daily? Yes. You're not limited. You're not going to give God one day. Not one day. You're going to give him every day to worship him. On your job, at your home, wherever you at. And that's good news, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Worship is a powerful spiritual exercise in every believer's life. And you need to take advantage of that. That's very vital as far as your walk with God is concerned. It's vital. It is just as vital as your heart. It is just as vital as the air you breathe. Worshiping God is what he's looking for. He's looking for that. He's looking for true worshipers. He's got a lot of worshipers. Let me be clear. Let me be real clear. He has a lot of worshipers in Japan. Matter of fact, all over the world. Arabia, Dubai, Jamaica, America. I mean, worshipers are everywhere. But God said, I got to look for true worshipers. That must be real hard to find. If God has to look for them, they must be real hard to find. You think about the millions and millions and billions of people in the world, but God has to look for true worshipers.
Yes,
brown tears in my eyes. But that's what he's looking for. And here's why. Because people get caught up. And so over in Colossians 2 and 8, if you read that for us, Sister William, I appreciate it. Got to lose, Sister William. Okay. Did you find that, Sister William? Colossians 2 and 8. Pastor, you hear me?
Yes, Pastor, I hear you.
Okay. Well, maybe her phone is on mute. Let me give her a second or two here.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, one moment. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. From the Message Bible, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What does worshiping in truth mean? First of all, you have to beware, because there's a lot of people. And when he says beware, that really means pay attention, brothers and sisters. A lot, because you think you're paying attention, are you truly paying attention? Lest any man spoil you. through vain philosophy, man, philosophy and vain deceit. So what we have to understand is how to worship, and then to understand who is worshiping, how to recognize who's worshiping in spirit and in truth. We worship the Father in spirit and in truth. When we worship in truth, we don't worship empty philosophy. It's not about big words. It's not about your vocabulary. It's not about excellency in speech. It's not about that stuff. That comes from the world's way of thinking, according to Colossians 2:8. So instead, we have to focus on the message and the truth of Jesus Christ. So let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your life. That's why I like Colossians 3:16. We'll read that. In Colossians 3:16, read that for me, please.
Yes, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
Amen, amen. In the Message Bible, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the whole house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. When he says let, you have to do that. You got control there. Matter of fact, that's a responsibility too. Because he says you have to allow the message about Christ live in you. And not just any kind of way, but richly. When you people get angry with me all the time because they'll say something and then I'll think of a scripture. That's because I'm letting the word of God live in me. Abiding in me, resting in me. See, so when you get to the place that you made up your mind that, hey, you're going to let the word of God have total control of your every moment, your every situation, so you'll come up with a scripture. Now, some people say, well, you know, I don't think that's necessary. Yeah, I know you don't, because you're on your way to hell. When you don't think that the word of God should live in you, when you are not letting the word of God live in you richly, that means a whole lot. You're not letting the word of God fill your life with every situation. You're getting the wrong teaching. Because he says, teaching and counseling each other with all wisdom, he gives. Then he says that it's okay for you to sing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs to God with thanksgiving in your spirit.
Yes, Lord. Amen, amen.
So man's way of thinking is not God's ways of thinking. Remember Isaiah 55? So in order to worship God in truth, we must know the truth, which is found in the Bible. We must continually renew our minds with what the word of God says. Spending time studying that daily. And when you do that, Romans 12:2 says, when our minds are renewed. See, your mind don't get born again. Your mind has to be renewed on truth. And not the world truth, but the word of God. We will be able to come to him and worship him in spirit and in truth. I told you all yesterday about the different truths. God expects for us to operate in the truth, not a truth, not your truth, but the truth, which is Christ. He expects nothing less. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to prepare ourselves for work. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you have to prepare yourself on a day-to-day basis for worship. Get out of that religious way of thinking. Well, I got to, you know, because some people, they got to put on certain clothes. I'm telling you what I know, okay? They have to put on certain clothes, because I know some Muslims like this, too. They have to put on certain garments. They got to go rinse off. Then they got to do all of this. Some people have to go and, I guess they put their rug down. Some people have to go and shut down everything so they can worship God, because they got a religious way of thinking about worship. Well, hey, y'all, we need to go there and open up the church so we can worship. Listen, brothers and sisters, God never said those things. That's the enemy way of tricking us. That's that vain philosophy. That's vain teaching. That's deceit. You can start right where you at and start worshiping God once you understand what worship is. So that's why this is going to be important, that you understand what worship is. You're going to understand that there's a difference between worshiping God and playing church.
Mm-hmm.
See, everybody ain't worshiping God now. Let me tell you this. Worshiping God is having an executive meeting with God. That's what worship is. It's having an executive meeting with God. It's talking to God about our business. How do I know we have a business? Because I read it over in, well, I'm going to let Sister William read it first. I think it's over there in 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 4, I want to say that's what I'm looking for. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 3 and read this, because you got to understand there are people who's carnal and there's people who's spiritual. So start with the first verse and read through the fifth verse. That'll work.
1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as man? For one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollo. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollo? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gives to every man. I have planted, Apollo's water, but God gave the increase. Continue reading, Pastor.
Well, you went to 5?
6, actually.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Reading from the Message Bible. But for right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing much more than nursing at the breast. Well then, I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much different than a babe at the breast, content only when everything's going your way? When one of you says, I'm on Paul's side, and another says, I'm for Apollo, aren't you being totally infidel? Who do you think Paul is anyway, or Apollo for that matter? Servants, both of us, servants who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust your lives to our neutral master. We each carry out our servant assignment. I planted the seed. Apollos watered the plants. But God made you grow. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, but I'm going to share this with you guys. What caused your spiritual growth? Was it because you was in a certain seat, because you sung in the choir, or because you went to this building? Or back? No, see, that's being carnal. That's being carnal. So when he's talking about being carnal, there is a God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, I believe 2 Corinthians 4 and 3 says that there is a God of this world. So if there's a God of this world, he's over the carnal stuff. See, people still don't want to accept that there is a God of this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, in whom the God of this world have blinded their minds, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the Bible said we have a gospel, but if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost, and the God of this world have blinded their mind. See, if Satan can keep you thinking carnally, he got you deceived. If he can just keep you thinking carnally, Paul said, man, I can't even talk to you. I can't even treat you like babe. I got to let you go because you're carnal. And I'll be honest with you all. I've come to the place that these carnal-minded Christians, I just don't have nothing for them because they're so hung up and they're so religious in it until they don't want to see light. They don't want to see truth. They think they got the whole package and running wild with it. And then they want to show you everything carnal. Well, if it ain't true, why he got a jet? If it ain't true, why he got a limo? You better see. If that's the way you think, you're thinking carnally. Listen, brothers and sisters, as I close, this is about your eternal life, man. This is about you being spiritual. You are a spirit. You have a body. That's where you live at. You're living in this body. But really, you are a spiritual being. You having human experiences. Human experiences. But you are a spirit being. Because when you got born again, let me say that one more time. Since you got born again, who you got born like? Like God. That's what happened to your spirit. If no one told you, your spirit became friends with God now. Your spirit became alive to the things of God because that's where they understand the spirit things of God. Amen. Not the world, but now you're able to separate it and know the difference. Okay, we're at the point where if you have any questions or anything you want to share, press one and we'll let you in. And anything you might want to share, or anybody want to comment on anything, want to edify your brother or your sister, you know, now is the time. And we're talking about, well, I was going to give this message a title, Seven Ways to Worship God in the Spirit and in Truth, but I won't do that because I realize it's so many more ways than seven. It's pathetic, man, that I'm being honest with you. I was about to limit God. God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And
amen.
But we got to start preparing for that. You got to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people think, well, because, you know, it's just like, it's speaking in tongues. I'm going to say this. I don't want to open up a can of worms, but I want to say this. It's speaking in tongues. It's speaking in another language. You do that for yourself because you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You're edifying you. God is giving you some stuff. So that's just another way of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Because he's going to give you that understanding. Now, if you're among a bunch of people, like on this broadcast, well, we need to have an interpreter. So we may get people, because I'm always getting people here on this broadcast from different places, saying different, having different messages. But if you come in a different language, I need to have an interpreter. I want you to interpret it, because you might tell me anything. That's what Colossians 2 is talking about. I don't want you to just, I got to beware unless I get cheated, unless I be deceived through vain philosophy. No, but that's just another way of worshiping. There's a beauty in all of it. Just as long as it's being done decent and in order, it's just like you can join other believers. And, I mean, they're like Paul and Silas. They began to worship and praise God together. That's just another way of worship. Where two or more were gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst. But here's the thing. Here's what you want to establish. You want to establish that it's truth and that it's spirit. Well, the way you do that, John 6:63 said, the words I say, they are spirit and they are life. So, if you know that the word of God is true, according to John 17, the word of God is true, and then there's spirit in it, and you begin to share it, you're going to watch yourself worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and not in a bunch of lies and deceit. But worshiping God is having a meeting with God, and like I said, an executive meeting, because you can't get no higher than God. It's like every day you're going to the boss and you're talking to him about a meeting. If you ever been part of a big production, they have what they call production meeting every day. And they lay it out. And if you worked in supervision, you have a meeting with the staff and you have a meeting. They ain't always executive meetings, but you have a meeting and you lay out what's going on. So when I talk about worshiping God, I'm talking about having a meeting with God. Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? I'm worshiping you. I'm having a meeting with you. Hallelujah. Man, please. That ain't having a meeting with God. You're being emotionally carried away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. But you want to get some understanding.
Amen.
God may tell you, you know, he may speak to your heart and your spirit and tell you, you know, you was over there at the AutoZone. Go back over there. And then, okay, Lord, because I know what I'm going over there for. I'm going over there to seek and save those which are lost. So I'm going over there with purpose. I'm going to, but when you're meeting with God every day, talking to him, getting the layout for today, you don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of those things. And that's how you prepare for worship. You know, you have to prepare. And we'll talk about that for the weeks out. And then we may even talk about how you can express worship. You know, I like to tell people, I like to shabak that thing. You know, I like to make it loud. You know, I want mm-hmm. I want God to hear me. You know, some people choose to sing worship to God. They sing out with their spirit. So we may get all the different sounds, but I'm not going to limit it to seven. That's all I'm trying to say. Whatever God tells me to do is what I'm going to do. And I know he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So it has to be based on the word. All of it has to be based on the word and not man's philosophy. Okay, if nobody else have anything else to say, today we will see. Oh, go ahead.
So, yeah, Pastor, I would like to read Colossians 2:6-8. You brought this out on yesterday, that eighth verse. But I'm going to read Colossians 2 and start with the sixth verse. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So over there in the, in the New Living Translation, it says freedom from rules. I can never pronounce that word, but it's R-U-L-E-S, and new life in Christ. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let Amen. Your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding noisome that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world. Rather, they from Christ. So he's telling us here that just as you said, we need to be rooted in God's word in order to be spiritual. Because if you don't have God's word to teach you and lead you, then you'll be under the other, as you brought out in 2 Corinthians, was it that 3:4? You'll be under that other power. So we want to be under God's spiritual, I mean, you know, the word of God, so that we can be spiritual and be on the right path and be in this word, you know, because a lot of times you got to get to yourself. And you've got to talk to God. And I like that how you said we have so many people on the call or listening by internet. This word has to be plain so they can understand it. And that's the only way it's going to be plain, through God's word. So I like how you brought that out. And yesterday's word was good, too. Just because I wasn't on that, you mean I had to get back in there and hear what y'all was talking about. Praise God. So, and I thank God for the prayer and the song and the reading and the meditating on the God's word and how you brought out the three parts. I called it the three part of truth. You know, when you talked about the historical truth and the pertinent truth and the truth. That message was really, really good. I can hear that over and over to help me to grow You know,
amen.
So I can.
Amen.
Spiritual. Thank God.
Amen.
And you keep on letting God use you, Pastor. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Anyone else? I see Evangelist or Pastor. Well, and she hung up. I thought we were gonna hear from her. Well,
oh,
okay.
I must have took too long, Pastor.
This is God's business. This is God's business. It's our
Amen.
Business. You know, we have a gospel, and it's part of we're part of this. So when
That's
God's
right.
using you, God using you, you have we have to just listen to the word of God. But
Amen.
I thank God for one of you all, and we will see you on tomorrow for the word at noon. Hallelujah.